Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Moss Radio. You are listening to Moss Radio. This is Grasping Things at the Roots. For those who are new listeners, you can find us on Instagram at Moss Radio NYC. You can also email us at mossradio at proton.net, I believe. .me. Okay, great. Yeah, so welcome back. It is a beautiful day outside, for real this time. I hope everyone's able to enjoy the sun today. I was able to go to the You and Me clothes swap this morning, so they're going until 4 p.m., so if anybody's in the area, feel free to drop by and, like, drop off clothes and also, like, pick up some clothes. We also have Moss Radio's first fundraising event, which is happening also at 4:30 p.m. Wait, is it 4 or 4:30 p.m.? It's at 4 p.m., actually. So it's at 4 p.m. It is most likely happening at Washington Square Park. For any, like, location updates or any updates about the fundraising event that's happening at 4 p.m., you can check our Instagram. It will be updated with any additional information. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. A bunch of the DJs and, like, radio hosts will be coming out. As well as just the Moss Radio team who's been making this happen. Yeah, there will be merch that you can buy. You can also, like, make your own merch there. There will be, like, prints and stuff, or things to make, like, prints on the clothes. There will also be, like, a couple of live music acts as well. So, yeah, come through, say hello, buy some merch, and just, like, yeah, meet the team. Yeah, so today is going to be a little bit of a shorter broadcast, just so we have time to make it to the fundraiser, but, today I wanted to, like, kind of talk a little bit about the back to school era that's happening, which is happening for some of us who are college students, but not quite yet, I guess, for K-12 individuals, if you're listening. But yeah, it's happening soon. It's happening next week for some of us. And yeah, there's some stuff going on that I think would be interesting for us to talk about. This is the first year, this is the first school year we're going into in New York where there's a phone ban going on. So this, like, K-12 throughout the whole state, throughout the whole city, there will basically be a phone ban in schools. Really? Yeah. I don't really know how, like, intense it's being implemented, but it is a policy in place now for this academic year, and going forward probably will be a, like, consistent policy. And yeah, it's basically an initiative to try to get students off their phones, by having them store their phones in, like, a storage device of some sort, like a bag or like a locker, at the beginning of the school day, and at the end of the school day you'd get your phone back. And it's, like, per school in which they're, like, deciding how they do this. The city government is also funding, like, this entire policy and program with, like, around, like, $25 million, which is, like, a lot. But it's basically, like, yeah, we're going to give you this money to figure out a way to, like, store kids' phones so that they're not on them in class. Yeah. So it's been a topic of big controversy, I think, in among students, and also parents, actually, who are kind of, like, contesting this policy by saying that they need to have access to their kids at all times. They want to text them throughout the day. Like, what if we have an emergency and stuff like that? So far, like, Kathy Hochul and, like, the city administration hasn't really, like, responded with, like, a definite, like, solution to those, like, problems. They're kind of just like, your school will figure it out, which, like, my high school actually sent out a letter, which I got. I'm not in high school, but I still got the letter, about, like, this policy, and they're basically just like, we're gonna figure it out if there is an emergency. You're going to have to come to the school office. Like, you're just going to have to be contacted in a different way, which, you know, that has been how like we've been kind of like existing before in schools. Like, we didn't always have phones or like ways of contacting each other throughout the school day. Families would have to like call into like the school's office before. But still, I think people are like very hesitant or like scared about this new change. So yeah, DJ Croak, I don't know if you have thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I feel like sometimes I land. We had this conversation in class, actually. One of my classes, when the Australia, like, under 15-year-old social media ban happened. And I feel like there is a difference between, like, what's wrong with the phone and, like, the actual act of, like, being able to having an emergency contact method. But I don't know. I guess it depends on what type of, like, infrastructure the schools are putting in place for those emergencies or things like that. Because I know definitely, yeah, I feel like even, like, having somebody's location, you know, or, like, that also assumes that, like, the kids are staying in school. And then, like, what happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of ways this could, like, go pretty wrong if it's not done right. Because also the kids are just going to, like, find ways to, you know. Like, or also you can't, like, compensate for the fact that, like, people don't have the same attention span as they used to, that, like, kids don't. Like, you know, if a kid is, like, fully raised online, but then just, like, in school you don't have it, but that's a sudden shift, then it's going to just cause
it's
a bit
just
of confusion.
Like, cold turkey, we're throwing you back into the real world with no, like, transition or, I guess, like, support in deintegrating you off of, like, social media or off your phone. What was interesting is I was looking at, like, my school's letter, and it kind of, like, sent out, like, bullet points of, like, ways that students can, like, prepare themselves, like, before the school year in, like, their own personal way and, like, kind of change their habits before the school year, which is, like, based on their own choice to do that. But it was kind of recommending, like, families to, like, block out, like, no phone time, or just, like, have, like, dinners without phones or stuff like that, which, like, is kind of, like, I guess basic, but the school was kind of just, like, giving advice on, like, how to deintegrate your kids or yourselves, like, off of, like, social media or, like, find a different, like, I think one of the bullet points is, like, find an outdoor hobby or something, or, like, stuff like that, which, like, the school year starts, I believe, like, the first week of September for, like, K-12 students in New York, so I think, like, I don't know if people are ready, but I think it's interesting that this is, like, happening in a city where there's so many schools, and also there's a lot of different schools with, like, different systems or for different, like, types of, like, students with different types of learning abilities. So, I mean, that's a whole thing, but, like, it does make, like, what you're saying, it makes a lot of assumptions about, like, families in the city and, like, what their needs are or if they have any needs or, like, what they might need, like, resources from their parents throughout the day, like, on a daily basis, but...
Yeah, that's also the thing is I feel like now there is so many exceptions where somebody would need to have their phone on them or even, like, you know, like, or a device, or I know people that track, like insulin and blood sugar with, like, a sort of like phone-like device, or it's something on their phone, or even just, like, medication reminders, or being somebody who might get, like, super anxious and feel like they need to have a certain, like, lifeline to, like, a safety support network, you know.
I mean, in the policy, like, they do state, like, there will be exceptions to this, like, based on, like, people's needs, which I'm sure, like, that will be able to happen. Like, people will be able to still have access to necessities that they need, like, through technology.
For sure, yeah. I'm not saying that they're gonna, like, ban everything.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. I hope not, but I feel like it is case by case. Like, if there's, like, a power-tripping, like, dean at a certain, or principal at a certain school, they might just be like, nah, bro, like, you just gotta lock in on real life or something, or, like, it's just not like, if we say yes to you, then we'll have to say yes to everybody. But I really hope that, like, students are able to still keep somewhat of their, like, autonomy as this is happening, and the families are still able to, like, kind of keep, like have access to their kids in some way, that in a safe way, as this policy is going forward this year. But yeah, if anybody listening is in like K to 12 in New York City, this is also, I think, in 35 states in the country. Oh. There's already like, this is happening.
Really?
In some way, like there's a limit on phones or like on technology or devices in classes already. So just be on the lookout for that. I think like we'll see this year how it goes for the city. And yeah. Also on that point, there's been like some news coming out on like the use of AI,
mm-hmm.
especially for like younger generations. Cause like, I think like in our age group, which mm-hmm. is like 20s and stuff, I don't really see as many people using AI like for
really.
Oh, do you see people?
Yo, it is everywhere. But I feel like also it's different because you are in like an art program,
right.
So it's also
it's kind of like
why like, are you here?
Yeah, exactly.
If that's
yeah.
your point. But definitely in like regular classes, or like not regular, but you know what I mean, like
right.
more like literary based classes or stuff where like people have to write long essays. But also it's very concerning. I feel like I've heard a lot of people be like, I ChatGPT my emails to professors.
No. I see that like,
but that's been like class
in memes. But I'm like, people just, don't. Like, I don't think people are actually doing this. But
no, they
I mean
do.
That's concerning.
They do.
Yeah,
it's really worrying and like. That or like they'll get ChatGPT to like read a long email and then like summarize it for them. Right.
Yeah.
Or just like really
okay,
like
that's concerning.
Stuff like
yeah.
that. I feel like, I mean, now there's so many trackers, but if you're smart with it, you know, or
right.
people that do this all day, like they know how to bypass that.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's scary because I haven't been in school for the past year, and I think even in just the span of 1 year, it's become, like, rampant.
Yeah.
Like, even teachers mm-hmm. are using AI.
Oh, so many teachers now that I see.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting taught, and I'm like, oh, you came up with this, like, class plan on AI
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. And you can kind of tell, like, it is the AI, like, mm-hmm. it's ChatGPT, like, language and stuff. And it's just weird to see this turnaround happen, like, so fast. Because, like, I feel like a year ago or 2 years ago, teachers are kind of, like, skeptical about it and a little bit dismissive or being like, you know, if I catch you using ChatGPT, like, it's an automatic F and stuff like that. And then, like, I feel like slowly I've seen them kind of, like, welcome it more in the classroom. And even, like, people have told me about, like, teachers, like, mandating it in assignments or something.
Well, my teacher once told me something that was like, oh, wait, there was one assignment that was, like, really scary.
Yeah.
That was, like, input your routine or something like that.
No.
Your daily routine into AI and then have it tell you, like, a, like, self-help plan, basically.
Oh,
but, like, that was an assignment. And I guess it was to, like, see how people like the uses of it or like what it could be, but I'm like, I don't want to
now they
I don't
have your
put
data
all that
they have your personal
yeah
information.
Every single thing I do on a day-to-day
yeah
like.
I think like I do actually know a couple people that do use like chat like AI chatbots for that purpose mm-hmm. like where it's like, oh, it helps like my ADHD to have like this.
Well, because now
AI.
It makes you like printable checklists and stuff.
Whoa,
like that.
Whoa, okay, that's crazy.
It'll be like,
yeah,
oh, like, you know, here's everything I do in a week, or like here's all my ingredients in my fridge, like scan recipes that I can make, and then make a printable like recipe thing,
right,
for me to just have.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. I feel like I want to say that if it's like helping people who, like, I guess are, like, they have a hard time, like, finding a routine or, like, finding a plan or something for their days, like, it is helpful. But I think it does come at a cost of, like, cognitive ability.
Yeah.
which, like, it's a slippery slope. Or also,
like, asking somebody else that's, like, a person to do that for you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you are losing, like, kind of your ability to have, to make decisions for yourself. You need to turn to, like, this AI device, which are also, like, they're not great for the environment. Like, they're, they suck up a lot of electricity and water at, like, a really fast rate. And there's also just been, like, a lot of reports coming out about, like, AI data centers being built, like, near communities that did not consent to living near them, and they're pretty loud and dirty, data centers. So it is, like, an environmental crisis as well. But yeah, I think, like, what you were saying before about it, like, not being super prevalent in, like, art spaces is true. I feel like I don't see it as much, like, in, like, among, like, illustrators or, like, artists, because, like, it is, like, a threat against us to, like, see AI art being used, or, like, utilized by, like, corporations and stuff, which, like, I've seen, like, a lot of, like, I've been seeing, like, a lot of, like, Skechers ads on the train lately that use, like, the specific type of, like, illustrative generative AI as well, which is just, like, really kind of just, like, disgusting to see, as, like, a corporation that is, like, exploiting AI in order to, like, not hire artists. So, yeah, there's this issue with AI that's going on. I think it's definitely getting a little bit scary, I think, with, like, the way that we're also, like, losing our ability to tell, like, apart, like, the truth and fiction. So a lot of, like, musicians as well have been, like, kind of coming out with, like, warnings for the public, and that, like, we're not able to, like, tell now. Probably within the next, like, 12 months or, like, in a year, we're going to see, like, where AI goes, and it's going to be almost unrecognizable from where it was, like, a couple years ago. So it is scary to artists, it's scary to writers, now threatening, like, actors and, like, the entire film industry, or, like, anybody that works in entertainment. There was an article by The Atlantic that came out a couple days ago that basically was exposing this, like, new AI method that YouTube is using to, like, lighten up the quality of, like, YouTube videos, without the consent of, like, people who were uploading their videos on there. So, like, somewhat, like, popular, like, video producers on YouTube were noticing that, like, their quality was changing and that it looked completely different from what how they uploaded it. But basically, I think a lot of, like, companies are starting to use, like, AI without, like, the permission of the artists that work for them or use their platform, and actually, like, yeah, without permission, without consent, are using it to, like, alter and doctor, like, people's productions, which is really worrying. But yeah, keeping an eye out on that as well. Yeah, I think so. Just to catch up, do some housekeeping with recent news. AI and phone bans are happening. On, like, a more personal note, as I was saying before, like, some of us are going back to college. I've been on a gap year for the past year, so I'm trying to mentally prepare myself to come back to academia, which has been really weighing on my mind recently. Yeah, I think there were reasons why I took a year off pertaining to, like, you know, my university's reaction to solidarity encampments was horrible. There was a lot of, like, on-campus violence from security guards, from police officers who were allowed to come into these schools and arrest students, and students and, like, young people, like, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds. And it doesn't, not to say that, like, it matters, like, how old you are. Like, if you're younger, it makes it worse that you're being arrested. But I think just seeing the way that a lot of these schools in New York weaponized like their institution and weaponized their institution against their own students, as these students were learning about, like, you know, the genocide, atrocities that were happening, it with imperialism, things that you literally learn in school, and you're taught to, like, to actually respond to these things. And when you actually choose to, like, come together and, like, make a point about it, or, yeah, make a point about it, just gather in solidarity, it's actually, like, then responded to as if you were harming the institution. So that happened. There were, I think, like, the peak of, like, student solidarity encampments were in the spring of 2024. And, yeah, it was really amazing to see, like, classmates, students come together around the city and, like, build solidarity with each other and also build solidarity, like, across the country, around the world, to call out the genocide that was happening and point to the institutions in our cities, in our country that actually, have benefited from this genocide or benefit from the money that funds this genocide. So, yeah, I think I had the privilege of being able to being able to step away from the institution and, like, reground myself in what actually mattered to me. And it was interesting because not that I was, like, necessarily, like had a lot of school pride before. Like, I definitely am not, like, a school merch person or somebody that's like, oh my God, my school is amazing, like, I'm gonna represent my institution everywhere I go. But after seeing the way that my school responded to peaceful encampments and actions, made me really had to question, like, what is the actual meaning of, like, higher education? What is the meaning of academia if it responds to things of meaning, things of actual meaning, like, in this way, with extreme violence, and extreme disregard of justice, actual moral justice. So, yeah, I've been thinking recently about this panel that I watched, this virtual panel that I watched in the spring. It's called, I would actually recommend anybody who's, like, interested in student activism, if you were involved in any student activism, or if you're just a student, actually, I would recommend listening to this panel. It's called Twisted Laws, Mumia Universities and Palestine. And you can actually find it on YouTube. It's been archived there, but I was able to watch it live. And it was part of a gathering in celebration of Mumia Abu-Jamal, who has been a political prisoner for about 30 years now. And he is a Black Panther Party member. He was also an award-winning journalist, and just, like, a prolific, amazing writer as well. He's still, like, he's still in prison as we speak, and he's been in prison for about 30 years now. And he also was calling around to each student encampment, just to, like, offer words of solidarity. And I remember actually the first time I, like, listened to him, or first time I was able to actually hear his voice, was at my own school's encampment. And he was calling into our encampment to share solidarity with us. It was a really beautiful, grounding moment. He was calling in, like, through a professor's phone, and unfortunately the phone call ended because they have limitations on, like, how long your phone calls can be in prison. But I remember it to be very grounding, and especially, like, in a time of, like, chaos and fear, he kind of, like reinstilled, you know, the foundational values of, like, why we're here and why we're together and why it's really important to not let us be fragmented, but to also acknowledge the challenges that we face. So yeah, the Twisted Laws panel, I'd recommend anybody to listen to. It has amazing speakers from the like organizers, student organizers from Temple University in Philadelphia, Columbia, and as well as like a student organizer in Palestine. And everybody like came together to share their experiences as student organizers and also their experiences during like the student encampments and challenges that they faced. There were problems, a lot of infighting and like things that learning moments as well. And when I listened to it, it was very healing, I think, as someone that was involved in the encampments, to hear like organizers speak about like speak to the challenges that like I saw like in my own spaces, and recognize that like there were things that like next time we're going to do this, next time we're going to focus on like relationship building with the community that our school is impacting, the direct community surrounding our school. For example, like Temple and Columbia, who are universities that have notoriously been like gentrifying the area that they're in. One of the organizer for the Columbia SJP was saying that like something that they wish that was like more of a focus was being able to build like solidarity with like groups that were organizing against like gentrification, the gentrification that was happening like through Columbia, in Harlem. So yeah, I mean, it's a, I listened to it recently again, because I think just like in regrounding myself, like in coming back to school, I think it's important to know that like, you have peers and like comrades that are on the ground that think the same way and have like experienced like, the same like disillusion with like these institutions and just like in education in general. And that the important thing is in being able to build community with each other, around these shared struggles. So yeah, it's a beautiful panel. Would recommend listening to it. Lots of like insight and like valuable, political education as well that came through that panel. Also, if like you haven't heard of like Mumia Abu-Jamal before, it's a great entry point into like understanding, like his praxis and his like, continued work as an activist while in prison. Yeah. So yes, that kind of was all of my notes for today's broadcast. Oh, actually there's more to talk about. To go back to AI, actually, we should be worried because it's also being weaponized by the Trump administration. I don't know if anybody has like looked into the AI action plan that the Trump administration put out recently. You can find it on Google. It's like this crazy document. But it basically is the Trump administration's like action plan and how they're going to like basically like co-opt AI for their parties, like, or like for the Trump like ideology. Yeah, one of their like chapter segments like in the document is that they want to ensure that frontier AI protects free speech and American values, and one of their policy actions are to basically revise AI risk management framework to eliminate references to misinformation, diversity, equity and inclusion, and climate change. And also just kind of like in general, like things that promote like the Chinese Communist Party and things that you kind of already knew that the Trump administration was gonna do, or just like America was gonna do in general. But yeah, I think we need to be very careful as we use AI. I don't, if anybody is listening and uses AI, I don't judge you for it, especially if it helps you throughout your day, in ways that you were really struggling with before. But just know that, like, your data is also being used and will be used in this AI action plan as long as the Trump administration is in office. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of worrying, actually, to think about, like, the ways that, like, schools are also buying into AI and, like, buying AI licenses or ChatGPT licenses for their students. And soon, I think we'll come to see, like, the ways that, like, this policy action in which, like, basically any mention of diversity, equity, inclusion is erased from AI, which as we're seeing is becoming, like, a tool that is dependent on by, like, spaces of learning. So, yeah, it's just worrying. I think also have been seeing, like, recent cases of, like, AI-induced psychosis. Yeah, no, it's real, actually. I don't know how, like, common it is right now, but I think I've just been seeing it, like, online, people kind of just, like, reporting that these are happening. And there was also recently a really tragic death that happened because of, like, Meta's AI chat bots or whatever. But recently, like, an older gentleman from New Jersey, I believe, was chatting with a Meta AI chat bot that invited him to come to New York, to a specific address in New York. And so this is a man that had, like, you know, was in care of his family, didn't have, like, yeah, wasn't, had, like, some kind of, like, cognitive disabilities, and traveled to this address and unfortunately passed away because he was separated from his family, was lost and stranded in New York. So, I mean, if this is not enough to kind of, like, get people to, I don't know, to get, like, a lot more restrictions on this technology, I don't even know what to say anymore. But, yeah, it's concerning to consider, like, the power that Meta also has in their, like, AI chatbots, which are, like, on Instagram, I believe. You can chat with, like, there's, like, a chat that's, like, something, like, strict but rich parents or something, or just, like, I don't know, random, like, characterized, like, AI chat rooms that you can join to talk to these bots. But it was actually, there was actually a leak in, like, Meta AI's, like, policy documents, or just, like, the way that they were training their AI. And it was actually, it was leaked that they were basically allowing, like, these AI chatbots to have, like, sensual and romantic conversations with children, with minors. Which, since that has been, like, leaked, like, Zuckerberg has kind of come out and said, like, oh, that was not okay, that was just, like, something that was overlooked, and, like, that was a mistake, we're gonna erase it from our, like, AI, like, training. But in the leak, there is actually, like, there is a reason why it was leaked. I believe, like, it was probably an employee, because there was actually a lot of push from, like, the higher administration of Meta to actually, like, roll back, like, on, like, the, I guess, like, they just wanted to go, like, full speed ahead, like, we're gonna take all of these risks, and it did end up getting leaked, which I think, like, there's not really any, like, lashback to that in, like, a legal sense, but it's just, like, concerning to think about as someone that, like, works with kids and, like, has, I'm, like, the oldest of, like, 20 cousins who are, like, still, you know, they use phones, they use, like, they might use AI and stuff like that, so it's just, like, really worrying to think about the impunity that, like, these digital technology, social media, like, companies have, and, like, the decision-making they're doing to, like, allow this to happen. So, yeah, not to be a downer on today's broadcast, but just, like, scary things are happening, I guess. we are living in a constantly digitizing and technologizing world. So these are things that we also have to be on the lookout for, whether you're like an artist, an activist, or honestly, as just someone that lives in 2025. But yeah. Yeah, that's all I had for today. I kind of don't want to leave it on this note because that was a lot, but I guess like some words of advice are to maybe try to not use AI so much if you are using AI. I know that it is now implemented in almost like everything that you do, like in like Photoshop and stuff like that. But I think just be aware of like your maybe our dependencies on it and the way that like our data is being used. As I was saying before, like the Trump administration has plans to like use it for their own like uses. So please be careful if you have young people in your life who might use AI. I think try to like reach out to them and be like, you know, we can talk as humans. We don't need to like turn to AI necessarily for like therapy reasons. I know that there are like programs out there that are developing with that purpose, but I think if we can try to bring back more like human to human interfacing, that would be wonderful. But yeah, please come out to our fundraiser. It is happening at 4 p.m. At Washington Square Park. You will see us there. So yeah, thank you all for listening. This has been Grasping Things at the Roots on Moss Radio. You can find us on Instagram at Moss Radio NYC. You'll also see like any updates about like our fundraiser that's happening on there. And yeah, have a good day. Enjoy the sun. Take care.